Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Steven Gostkowski misses a couple of kicks.
Steve's kicking the league a long time.
Chris has struggled. We acknowledge that Chris has struggled to find consistent footing.
A lot of aspects to kicking.
We're willing to explore options that gives us the very best chances of that ball going through the uprights this weekend.
Three people involved, not just one. It's not like a kickoff where you just put the ball on the tee. So
the easy decision for us to do is to assign blame or to shoot a hostage.
He sounds like somebody who's reading one of those old school Telegraph.
Caught surprise shore leave in big town.
I'm not going to worry about my options.
It's kind of
caught short of cash. 25 would help.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of monotone.
One of those options. Stop.
Please telegraph care of Western Union.
So be it. We'll be ready for the ads.
Right now.
I remember game 3. What a horse.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back to the show. OMF, no Ordway. It's the MFers here. A lot of football early on, but I got to get to this baseball because all hell broke loose. It started yesterday with Bob Nightingale tweet when he stated the Boston Red Sox trying to clear salary space for bullpen help. They're openly listening to offers on Rick Porcello, and rivals insist they're willing to talk about Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley. Guys like Ken Rosenthal tweeted out right after. Rival exec confirms that the Red Sox are looking to cut payroll so they can make other moves, most likely the bullpen.
Which I'm going to say.
Which led to me.
You're a little sensitive. A little sensitive.
Lose my mind a little bit.
Thank you. You got spooked.
What?
I think you overreact a little bit. I think that was a trigger. I think Xander is a trigger for you. Like, you're very protective of Xander. If anyone talks about Xander, and I saw you last night on your show you do with all your buddies over there when you leave us. You have a whole nother life.
Me,
outside
DJ.
Of,
Danielle, Holly.
Yes, yeah.
Drama Club.
Trenny. So I think you overreact a little bit.
Props to Lou, though.
Because there was some clarity that Dombrowski brought to the situation.
You think?
Yes. What do you mean, do I think?
All right, well, this was Dave Dombrowski. He sat down yesterday out in Las Vegas and discussed some of the swirling rumors.
Dave, can you give us a list of players you're going to trade to cut your payroll? Apparently, that's the big
deal. I've heard those tweets, I guess, out there. I'd say we're not driven by that fact, you know, that approach. I would say that you always listen to anything. You can always get better. I know long term we're not going to be able to sign all of our players.
Ooh.
That brings upon conversations and people calling you about various things. But I would say our guarantee you our primary focus is to try to win a world championship in 2019, to try to repeat.
Okay.
That cleared up for you.
Well, yeah, because
to
me, like
for
yesterday
you?
When we heard this, I mentioned Xander and you mentioned and Jackie Bradley Jr. being the two names that were sent out there. I was like, oh, okay, Xander seems like the one guy that you can move.
And Rick,
you guys went and you guys went nuts. Okay, and
well,
I'm sitting there, and my point was, you're not going to keep all these guys. And he kind of references it there at the end. Like, okay, all these guys are coming up at the same exact time. I mean, who'd have thunk it, right? All of them are going to be due. So you're not going to be able to keep all of them. There's no financial possible way you can do it.
Well, here's the thing. What set me off was cutting payroll. Okay? That was it. You know, and Dave Dombrowski, I don't know. Do we have any more from Dave the other day? Because I just saw a quote that if it's not in there, it's no big deal. I'll just read it. Okay? He says, I do caution. The one thing they're talking about is that just from a financial perspective and rule perspective, it's not going to be possible to keep everybody. You have to realize, now this is just... Just listen to this closely.
I want to cut you off so bad, but it's...
You have to realize that if anybody is signed long-term now, or even, say, for example, 6 days ago, I'll throw that in, it may have an effect on some other things that you may do later on. So, in other words, there is an admission that when you sign a guy like Nathan Eovaldi to $17 million a year for 4 years, it may affect what happens later on.
Okay.
And are we in that spot where this is affecting what is happening later on? The payroll, cutting payroll thing to me set me off. Because as you know, I wasn't high on the Eovaldi thing. You know, I thought maybe there's a chance you could have pat him on his ass and said, appreciate everything you gave us.
Yes. Okay, but Porcello is also up in 2020 also. All these guys are up. So you're getting ready for the future. You're getting ready for the fact that maybe you won't be able to re-sign Rick Porcello. Maybe you won't be able to sign Mookie, JD. The list goes on and on. We'll call them the Red Sox planet players.
Okay.
The Patriots have them. The Red Sox have them. I'll give you your three planet players right now that are going to be up in 2020. All right? And based on that sound, based on the fact that you know they can't keep everybody, you only have so much money, I'll give you your three guys. You have JD Martinez, you have Mookie Betts, and you have Xander Bogaerts. Out of those three guys, I'm going to tell you, listen, Dave, you can only keep two of them. You can pay them whatever you want, whatever you need to pay them. Let's put it that way. But you can only keep two out of the three. Which two guys are you keeping?
Well, number one, I mean, Mookie's got an extra year, right? So JD, Xander, and Chris Sale. Okay, he is up as well.
He's not my plan.
Three position players.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
So which two guys?
So you're telling me that
that chair is doing something to you? Like, it's a very direct question. You have two guys out of the three. Which two guys is it?
Well, okay, the better players are probably Mookie, and you can make an argument. I know JD is outstanding, but I'm telling you, that premier shortstop position is not easy to find.
That's what it is.
It's not going to probably cost as much per year as much as JD is, but I understand the Boris factor, okay? But this is what I would throw to you.
So you're saying JD and
Mookie. I'll give it to you, JD and Mookie.
Okay, that's what I wanted, Glenn.
All right, Glenn, I'm going to give you an answer. Now, you're going to tell me this, though. Okay, because if we're going to start exploring trades for Xander Bogaerts, because Scott Boris has already told us it's going to take 10 years, $300 million, because this kid's a 26-year-old shortstop who drove in 100, and he's going to make him look like the greatest shortstop of all time. Okay, so we're going to trade Xander ahead of time. Are we going to be better this year?
No.
Okay, so we all agree you're not.
Well, hold on. Wait a second. Maybe not. Because let's just say you do give him up, right? Because you know you can't re-sign him, so you want to get something for him. Why can't you just get like a stopgap type of player? Because
he's not going to hit fifth.
Okay, so I don't know. Maybe you find somebody else to make up for it. I guess, move the pieces to make him fit.
All right, let's play it out.
Sure,
I trade Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, bye.
And I sell it off as, hey, it's Boris. I can't sign all these guys. Perfect. All right. JD opts out. You know who his agent is?
Scott Boris.
Thank you. Okay, so now Scott sits there and says, 2 years in a row, my client was top four in MVP. He's playing more outfield. I can explore National League ballparks. This kid's a 3-4 hole hitter. You're telling me the Red Sox can't let him go, right? There's no chance that he leaves. Because he's going to opt out. No chance he leaves.
Of course he is. He'd be dumb not to.
Okay, no chance he leaves?
No, because you're going to pay him. You're going. Well, yeah, listen. I guess within reason. Okay, fine. You're right. I mean, some team with a boatload of money will sit there and say, we don't care about salary cap. We don't care about nothing. We just want our guy. We're going to overpay for him, and we'll figure it out later.
All right, 2 years from now, Mookie Betts comes to you and says, I appreciate the offer, but I just really want to play for my home team, the Braves. They're offering me just as much. Bye.
Okay.
And that'll piss me off even more.
Okay, that's possible.
You think it's unlikely?
It's unlikely.
What if you trade away a guy that you think you could sign?
The Red Sox are going to overpay
for
him.
In the hopes of signing two guys in free agency that you might lose anyway.
You know this organization better than anybody. You telling me you think they're going to allow that to happen? You don't think they would sit there and go back and forth? If where he lives, if climate and city is more important to Mookie, then fine, you're going to lose anyways. Doesn't matter how much money you have. He wants to go play at home. Fine. I would want to play in L.A. If the money's the same, I'm going to go home and play in L.A. I'll figure it out. I'll come back later. But based on what's going on, to me, Xander is the odd man out. So you have an option, right? You want to get rid of him. You want to trade him because you want something for him. Hey, what are you going to get?
Mm-hmm. Tex is right. I'm offended by even talking about this right now. Trade Xander Bogaerts.
What are you going to get?
You know what you do with Xander Bogaerts? I'll tell you what you do with Xander Bogaerts. You let him play this year out. And then in the offseason, you let Scott Boris do the dog and pony show. And you find out how much it's going to cost him. And if he signs somewhere else, you pat him on the ass and say, thank you very much. And you take your fourth round compensation pick. This whole thought that you got to trade a guy a year before he leaves. Screw you, Bill Belichick. You have absolutely destroyed everybody's thought in this town that you got to get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late. You're a big market team. You don't have to do that.
Lou, how's it going?
Let him play it out. But we're so... Patriots would never do that. Bill would never do that. Bill's the smartest guy in the world. Bill would have traded freaking Xander's ass 2 years ago. Fine. But you don't have to do that. And you find out what happens. Maybe you got a better understanding that, maybe J.D. Martinez hurts his knee. I don't know. Maybe he opts in. Okay, whatever. We'll see what happens. Maybe Mookie Betts tells you in the meantime that he's not coming back. And at least you've got a guy that you feel like you can hit third or fifth in your lineup. And you still might have a chance to sign him long term. Maybe Chris Sale blows out and you don't want to hand him $30 million. The bottom line is don't make a decision on a talent of a 25-year-old shortstop until you have to.
Well,
and if you can't bring him back, he goes. He leaves.
I see. I think that's it, Sin. Because let's say you just say you're not going to have him afterwards. Not going to re-sign for you. So you want to get something for, because that's the Patriot mentality. We got to get something
for the Patriots.
You know, and I agree with you. Why not just play it out? So if you keep them, the best case scenario is you win another World Series.
Yeah.
Okay. If you trade them you're trying to get something for it, what are you going to get back in return? What if you trade them right now? You getting prospects? Are you getting a journeyman type player who's a stopgap until those prospects actually mature?
You're right. You got to find that perfect spot. Okay, because last I checked, the Dodgers don't need a shortstop. And I can't guarantee you, but by the end of the offseason, I don't think the Yankees are going to either. Okay, because I think Machado's in New York. So, okay, big market teams. Okay, Philadelphia, they might need a shortstop. You know, they might need one. So we'll see what they want. I don't know, Atlanta, these teams that could spend money out of nowhere. So maybe so you could deal him to, say, Philly if they lose out on Machado. You know, because Philly might sit there and say, well, 1 year left at 11.5, we'll do that because we're going to send him. We're going to sign him long term. You know, we don't have Mookie coming up. We don't have JD coming up. We don't have Chris Sale coming up. This is our guy moving forward. But you're right. What am I going to get from Philly for him? Am I going to get a big league piece? I mean, they're not going to give me, you're not going to deal him to the Mets for the kid Rosario, who's a 22-year-old shortstop who's under control. They would rather have Rosario or use him as a trade chip. So what is that perfect fit that a team takes him for a year, knowing Boris is the agent that says, we're willing to give this guy an 8-year, 9-year, 10-year deal that Scott might want, but what do you get in return? Does it make you better this year?
And that's what I was leaning toward. That's what I meant yesterday. It's not – big picture is, realistically, like, somebody's got to go. Somebody you really like has got to go, right? And if you're going to sit there and, you know, start ranking them as far as importance, not in no particular order, as far as importance, those three guys – I mean, okay, throw in Sale, throw in Porcello, fine, I'll give you that. But really, it's Mookie Betts, it's Xander Bogaerts, and it's JD. Those are three guys that are going to be playing for a long period of time.
The other ones,
you can only keep two of them.
Yeah, the other ones are different scenarios. The whole salary dump. Jackie is not a salary dump. Jackie could end up being, if they did that, maybe a smarter baseball trade. Okay, because you might look at Jackie and say, you know, for eight. So sometimes now when you look at the league, and it started last year, that trading a guy in his last year of his deal is not getting the return that a lot of teams are happy with. Trading him with 2 years left in his deal is probably the best time to do it if you're a smaller market team, right? You don't want to trade a guy with 3 months at the rental market. The rental market wasn't that strong. And the one-year market isn't great either, but the two-year is. So if you can trade Jackie Bradley and you can acquire some assets for a guy that's got basically 2 years, $20 million left in his deal when you think of the two-year arbitration cases, and you can get some in return, okay. But that's not a salary dump because I got to replace him with a fourth outfielder that I think can actually play, like that third/fourth outfielder who can really play, and that might cost me $6 to $8 million, what it costs for Jackie. But I'm getting prospects back.
See, this had nothing to do. Yesterday, it seemed like you were focused on the fact that Eovaldi was to blame. Like, since they signed Eovaldi, like, everybody else was going to suffer. Like, you're going to have to get rid of Xander because you need to save money for next year. Would you agree that they didn't, like, drastically overpay for him in the first place?
You have to realize that if anybody is signed long-term now, it may have an effect on some other things that you may do later on. That's a quote from Dave Dombrowski.
And you're directing that
squarely. So when you sign Nathan Eovaldi as 4 years, $17
okay,
million.
Do you believe everything that comes out of his mouth?
You have to look at that and say, okay, what does this mean? Now, if Nathan Eovaldi, the perfect scenario was signing a guy, a starter for 3 or 4 years, and moving on from Porcello and replacing salaries, but having a guy for 4 years as opposed to one. I just don't believe that Nathan Eovaldi can be counted on to just take the ball.
Okay, that's a different conversation. I say that means more about I think what he's referencing is not Eovaldi, Porcello, Eovaldi, or anybody. It means Mookie. It means JD. It means Xander. It means all the important pieces that you're going to need to re-sign. And if you only have a certain amount of money, then one of those guys is going to be. I don't even know if Chris Sale is going to be here based on what he's going through. He's got to pitch another season, and what is he going to be, 30 something? And like, he's going to get a long term deal that he's going to really like. If I'm Chris Sale, I don't know what you can do in baseball, but I'm holding out, and I'm deciding now I'm going to be a jerk Because I want my money now.
Well,
that's
tell
what
you,
I would be doing.
It doesn't sound like he's thinking that. And we'll get to an Evangelic story where he talked to some people that had to do with Chris Sale. A little bit of the Red Sox here right now. What Dave Dombrowski said yesterday, does it make you feel better about some of the rumors you heard yesterday or not? Give us a call, 617-779-7937. It's the OMFers.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Where's the music? I want everybody right now to call in and tell me again why you had to do it, Lou. It's $17 million. It's not your money. What do you care? It's only $17 million. They can spend all they want. There's no salary cap. They'll just keep spending and spending. It'll have no effect on this roster. And now you're talking about trading a 25-year-old freaking shortstop who with 23 bombs drove in 100? A 25-year-old shortstop? Now you got to cut salary? Holy smokes. You needed him, though. I remember game three. Oh, what a horse. Oh, mate. God! Yeah, that was yesterday. I still feel the same way. I do. And honestly, I'll have the last laugh.
Based on what?
Based on Evaldi's history.
So you're so want to be right that you're hoping Evaldi fails.
That's
what
not
it comes
true.
Down to. That's basically what you're saying. Because you just said, isn't that what you're hearing?
Absolutely.
It's like Fourier wanting the Patriots to lose just so we can be right 11-5.
They're losing this Sunday.
Shame. I don't Evaldi. Have no. People listen. Are crying because of him.
It's fine. I mean, I history's on my side. I mean, the guy's been in the league now for like 7 years. He hasn't shown he can get through a year. Did it once. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Will you feel vindicated if Xander gets traded?
Maybe I'm wrong. Will I be vindicated? Oh, I'll be vindicated. I'll tell you what, I'll be on the air. I don't care if it happens New Year's Day. I'll pop in here for about an hour and just scream for 1 hour straight if they trade Xander Bogaerts and don't let it play out and just to find out if they can keep him or not. That's what I'll tell you.
Well, couldn't you do a thing where you trade him and then you re-sign him later? Didn't the Yankees do that with Chapman?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you do something like that? Well, you'd be happy that way? Would it be better? Would it feel better?
No. I do, yeah. We get to hear Lou yell, and then we get our shortstop.
That's never.
You get hangry, Lou.
That's never going to happen.
God!
That's not going to happen. Let's go to, I'm going to go to Tom in Connecticut. Tom, go ahead, pal. You're on.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking the call. Yesterday, Lou, I could have disagreed with you more. You know, I knew that the Red Sox weren't just going to ship Bogaerts. They were not going to be selling. They're completely buyers this year. I mean, to just the roster move alone with getting rid of Hanley Ramirez last year. I mean, they're in it to win it this year. And Evaldi showed you a sign that this team wants to win again. And, it was a good move. They were either going to bring back Kimbrel or Evaldi. And, you know, I disagree. I think Evaldi was the better move of the choices. You know, Kimbrel had been wild for a while. You know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, but who's sitting there? And I don't mean to interrupt, Tom. I'm so sorry. But
sure.
When did it become Kimbrel or Evaldi? What the hell do they got to do with one another?
Well, I'm just saying, they have a, like you were right about, they do have a market and they can only pay so much with this team. But, I mean, shipping Bogaerts was, you'd have to be on drugs to be doing that at this time when they're looking to compete and win a championship this year. So the move was clear that they were going to try to put the chips in this year, and they weren't going to be able to keep both of those pieces to the puzzle. So they decided that, you know, Evaldi, you know, there was a similar type of money. I bet you Kimbrel gets close to that money too.
You think the reports are bogus then? Is that what you're telling me? They're not going to do any of these things that they were reported yesterday of talking to other teams about or listening?
Well, here's the thing. If he ever got blown away with something with Xander, but that would have to be somewhere where someone's doing a trade and buy. They would have to be able. He's going to demand so much money. No team's going to give some big time prospects for a guy that they're going to have for a rental for 1 year. The only way that Xander gets traded is at the All Star break or something. That the Red Sox somehow have a terrible year and they're 15 games out.
Then you agree with me? They can't trade him
for the lesser. What?
Then you agree with me that they can't trade him.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be trade, but they were never going to be trading him. They were not going to trade him. They have an option. If JD Martinez doesn't have a good year this year, they've got a chance to buy him out. And I mean, they're not in bets in 2 years. Is going to demand a ton of money. They're only going to be able to keep one of those guys, most
all right.
likely.
So you disagree with me,
Lou,
but you agree with
sense
everything
here.
All right, appreciate the call.
Go to
I don't get it.
Go to Jimmy.
All right, Jimmy. Jimmy, go ahead, pal. You're on.
Fellas, I love you guys. Lou, all you guys. You guys are the best.
Lou and I don't know the other guys'
That's
names.
Right, we're good. Christian.
No, I do. I'm just going to
no,
you
are dumb.
Something. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
You too,
all
bud.
That stuff to you. I'm going to ask you something. Okay, I do know this. I know Jesus wasn't born at the WEI studios in Boston.
Okay.
Because they couldn't find three wise men.
West. Ooh. I like it.
This is what we get when we give you the floor. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, I was going to tell you another joke, but...
Let's just get to the point.
I just want... Let me ask you something. Yeah. Why are we talking so much baseball when football season's on?
We've just been doing it for a half hour.
Are you okay
with
that?
Throw me a bone, Jimmy, for God's sake. Really? We talk football 24/7. You can't throw me a bone when some hot stove stuff riles up?
Lou, I know you're a baseball player, but my God, man... There ain't nobody thinking about baseball
right
now.
Well, Jimmy, what'd you call up to ask?
I wanted to ask you a certain question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Better be
Can
football.
Can you name me three horses that have won the Kentucky Derby? Mutt asked this question earlier, and I just wanted to know, if you can answer this or anybody there.
No, I
can't.
I don't
have an opinion on this one.
I would like to say, I say this with all sincerity,
Eddie.
I hate you. Don't ever call again.
No, I can't. Eddie, you're on. Go ahead,
pal. Like a Francesa call.
Eddie, you're on.
Hey, guys, how are you? I'm going to try to save you.
Please.
I understand what you're saying about Evaldi, Lou, and I get it, but this is how I feel. And you're going to think I'm crazy. I have more confidence in Evaldi than I do in Seal. Seal has shown me consistently the last 2 years he's going to break down. I'm almost wondering if Evaldi can go out there and just throw every single game, throw nine innings, and never have another worry again, which I know is crazy. The other thing I want to mention is J.D. Martinez. I think the guy loves playing in Fenway. I think he loves playing for the Red Sox. And I think he's one guy that's not going to hold out for the most money. But, you know, we'll see what happens. One more point I want to make.
As far as
Xander goes, they don't have anybody that can catch the ball at third base. You're thinking about moving the shortstop, too? Red Sox better get a grip on this one.
Not worried about third
base.
Well,
we'll see. Appreciate
that
it.
That is such bull crap right
And, you know,
there.
That to me is I understand why Red Sox fans feel that Nathan Eovaldi is more dependable than Chris Sale. It's just insane. It really is. I mean, I know, because Chris Sale last year, I get it, 158 innings, died down the stretch. Still threw in the playoffs, but maybe wasn't the same guy we saw in June or July. And Nathan Eovaldi, since he showed up here in Boston, has been healthy, was a horse in the postseason. But, I mean, Sale, who died down the stretch last year, gave you 214 innings, struck out 308 at a 2.9 ERA. Sale, who died down the stretch in 2016, threw 226 innings with a 3.34. He's Sale, who died down the stretch in 2015, threw 208 innings and had a 3.41 ERA. Sale, who's really struggled, has thrown 31 starts, 32 starts, 32 starts, 27 starts. It's all you've seen from Nathan Eovaldi. It's called baseballreference.com. If you've got a computer next to you, go Google it. Check it out. Find it. Plug in Eovaldi. E-O-V-A-L-D-I. Eovaldi. And go check out his page. Chris Sale, who has really struggled down the stretch, finished fourth in Cy Young this past year, second the year before, fifth the year before that, fourth before that, third before that, fifth before that, sixth before that. But please, continue to tell me how Nathan Eovaldi is a better bet than Chris Sale.
Dumbasses.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
That's not even the point with me. That's a whole different story.
What's the point with Jimmy?
It's I don't know. Now I know why Glenn interrupts all the time, but it's just sometimes some of the calls. Hoy.
No, let's go to Lori in the car. Go ahead, Lori. You're on.
Lori, yes.
Hey.
A female point of view. How you doing, Lori?
So, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good to have you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, but don't call in very often. But I could do a Lou rant on Dave Dombrowski right now.
Oh, you want to try?
So, go ahead.
Hold on, Lori.
Give it a bit.
Does anyone really think More
he
anger.
Is thinking about prospects in these trades, the guy who devastated Detroit before he came here and devastated Boston? Does anyone think that his long term is more than 3 or 6 months out? I think we should be worried about what he's thinking about.
Can you call him a jerk or something also? You need to be more mean.
Get fired up.
Lori, that was like decent, I guess, for your first attempt. But if you were going to play the music for you, you got to bring more fire.
I'll leave that to Lou. I have to say, I agree with Lou on both Eovaldi and, although I love him, and on Bogaerts.
You know Bogaerts will not be on this team in 2021.
Well, I appreciate
I'll tell you right now. So, like, Bogaerts got one more year as a Red Sox.
Hey,
That's it. He's got one more year. What do you want to do with him? That's the story.
So, are you Bill Belichick? Are you in line with the Patriots theory
to me,
of
you keep
gotta trade him, gotta move on, gotta get traded for?
No, I want to win another World Series.
Yeah.
I want to win another World Series.
How about that?
What you're gonna get back isn't nearly as valuable as a World Series. So screw it, go back to back. Go back to back, be done, and then figure it out. Like,
we
so you
gotta
get
win that
so you take it on the chin for maybe a year.
Do you know how much
maybe
can
you don't
happen
win the World Series
in a year? Like, do you know what can happen? Like, right now, everyone's like, no, because right now you got to bring back Sale, you got to bring back Mookie, you got to bring back JD. What if Sale blows out? You know, what if Mookie is 2 years ago, 267? You know, what if JD Martinez plays 86 games? And Xander Bogaerts plays .152, hits .295, hits 25 bombs and 120 RBIs because he's hitting fourth for you because JD Martinez isn't getting it done.
Do you live in the what-if world?
No, but you have to.
But at the same time,
you don't make like, a decision until you have
it.
To.
Yeah, I know. That's part of it. So I say keep him. Keep him.
Yes.
Win it. And then, so even if he leaves after next year, after 2019, he's done. He's gone. He's playing somewhere else. Like, you think this team's not going to be devoid of talent. So maybe they have a hole at shortstop. Maybe they're filling that gap for the next 3 years because they can't find anybody.
Once you go fill it, yeah, for the first, yeah. Just do like you did. What was Nomar left in what, 03? 04? Yeah, you find Xander Bogaerts. Hey, you know what? Don't worry. It's probably another 14 years before you find another one. That's all right. It's no big deal. It's just another run.
What about Cabrera? Yeah.
What's harder to find? What's harder to find? A JD Martinez or Xander Bogaerts?
Xander.
Oh, yeah.
Xander.
Really?
Yes. Xander.
The way the sport is now.
Yes.
You rather have a Xander than over a JD?
No, yeah, yes, because I tell you why. Because at some point, I can go out there and sign, and not this guy because he's over the hill, but I can go and sign a Nelson Cruz. I can go sign an Edwin Encarnacion, the next version of these guys. And I'd love JD Martinez, but I don't know if I can find a shortstop who can hit fifth in the middle of your order, who can play a very good shortstop, who's got 20 home run potential, who, by the way, is 26. Yeah, I just don't think you can
find
it. Well,
would you say that Bryce Harper's going to be a catalyst for everything?
Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, yeah. And whatever Bryce Harper gets, Mookie deserves more. So, you know, everybody keep, you know, potentially, you know, that's the other thing, banking on Mookie Betts to sign here. I hope he does. I hope they unload the bank. I hope they open the checkbook. But what if the kid doesn't want to? I mean, I don't know. What if J.D. Martinez is like, you know, I love it here, but I want to bring my knowledge to another city, and I want to help out every single hitter in their lineup. And this is what I want to do. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a DH here. Maybe the role changes in a year. I don't know. And maybe they don't bring back JD, and they've already traded Xander for a bag of something. I don't know. All right, listen.
Go to Kevin. Just go to one real quick.
All right, what do we got?
Just go to Kevin, then we'll end it. Go ahead.
Kevin?
Go to Kevin.
All right. Kevin, you're
hey,
in a car.
Kevin.
I know you're in a car. I don't know why I need to tell you you're in a car. Go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you do?
What's up with Ordway, baby? Wah! I got some Novocaine. Wah!
Christy, they're not going to be able to sign all these guys.
You guys sound 20 times better today without that clown on the radio.
Ah, we like Glenn. He's going to get his teeth fixed.
Red Sox take three out of four.
Hey, listen. I don't think you guys really need to worry about the Red Sox. I'm a huge Yankees fan, and I know Cashman is going to completely blow it up by signing Manny I Don't Hustle Machado. So I wouldn't worry about it, guys.
Oh, that's I am good. Worried about them getting Machado.
Thanks,
appreciate
bro.
The call, Kev. I am.
Really?
I am. I'm worried about them getting Machado, putting him in at short, moving DD, or putting him at third, moving Andujar, and then going out. They got Hap maybe now they might get. Yeah, I worry about them getting Machado. Listen, I want to take a break real quick because when we come back, I do want to talk about something that Alex Cora mentioned out in Arizona, too. Oh, where are they? Vegas.
In Vegas, which I just don't know why he even said this, but whatever.
Yeah,
I guess he can do whatever the hell he wants.
And I'm going to need some people out there to help me with this one. I really am. So you hear from Alex Cora out in Vegas next.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
I mean, this is the first time I've been in this situation. Put the mute in a few of you guys and don't follow them and just stay away from them. It's part of the business. Everybody knows that in today's world, you know, people are going to talk and it's going to be out there. I haven't talked to any of them as far as like this. We're just preparing for next year. When I talk to them, it's about what we're trying to accomplish next year.
That's Alex Cora out in Vegas saying he's muted people. Twitter, he's not listening to people. He's not seeing any reaction.
Not listening to radio
at all.
What people
might have been saying the last few days. I disagree with that comment. I personally think that he's heard some things.
I think he listens to everything. I think he's more in tuned.
Might have responded.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, he's listening. They're out in Vegas right now, but they're listening to everything.
The Tampa Bay Rays have signed Charlie Morton. The Tampa Bay Rays. Charlie Morton.
It's actually good news.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's impressive.
Great. Good
he's
for them.
He's good. He's really good in Houston. Now
Charlie Morton.
Now they have three starters and then two bullpen guys. So that's pretty interesting. But that wasn't all that Alex Cora had to say. He talked about the leadoff position and how that might change next year.
We've been thinking about it, and I think we're going to maximize Mookie in a different spot. We're going to flip-flop them. We're going to go Benny leading off, and Mookie's going to hit second. Talk to them. It just makes sense. I think, obviously, you guys saw what happened towards the end of the season. He became very passive again, and it's not that I don't like that. You know, I know what type of hitter he is, but I think doing that, Benny can be aggressive too, and he can – he's a good runner. He gets on base, and I put it this way to Mookie, and I know – Benny's okay with it, but you know, if you play 162 games, you're going to come up 162 at-bats with nobody on. And last year, what I wanted from him in the leadoff spot, we accomplished, and now it's a different season, and we have to make adjustments, and that's where we're going to go.
Interesting. Okay. Help me out here.
Well, there's a couple of things I have.
Yeah, I know. We can walk through this one at a time. Go ahead.
The first one, the obvious one for me right off the bat is like, okay, I don't know why you feel like you have to say that now. I feel like just whatever. Okay, so fine. You're open. And wasn't him, Mookie, being leadoff, part of the solution to your problems?
Yes. That was part of the master plan, to be aggressive from the first pitch, to have those guys worried about our leadoff hitter like we did with George in Houston, George Springer. And it was to set a tone, and it was to get Mookie more aggressive. And it worked. You know, now he says what a lot of people said when they called in, said Mookie should be back in the order more because he's a good hitter. When he says 162 at-bats with nobody on, railing against that.
Yeah, that
so what's changed? Are you not going to be, you don't want an aggressive Mookie Betts?
You're still going to have an aggressive Mookie Betts because you're assuming that, okay, if you have an aggressive Benintendi, that your aggressive Mookie Betts would drive in more runs because he'll have somebody on base already, right? It's weird. Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right, if it worked last year.
It worked.
So you always
got to
make adjustments. I would say you make adjustments until teams force you to make adjustments.
Well, this
and they haven't forced you because you won a World Series with that call.
This is also one of those things where you can see them actually going back to Mookie. In a way, I'm kind of fine with it. It's like, who cares? So they try it out. Benintendi doesn't fit for the first, 10, 15 games. And they go ahead and they flop it back the way it was. To me, you're not really married to this. I mean, you're saying it awfully early.
Isn't it weird, though, in the first week of December saying this is our lineup?
Yeah, I mean, what's the benefit to addressing it, announcing it?
I don't know.
To make sure Benintendi knows, like, okay, get mentally ready. You're our leadoff guy.
You know, another thing before I get to the calls. And by the way, Teddy Bruschi is going to join us at the bottom of the hour at 4:30. So we'll talk Pats with our man, Teddy Bruschi. But one final thought before we take some calls.
That was awesome.
The one thing that I mentioned in training a couple times, the Red Sox signed this kid, Gorkys Hernandez, okay, from the San Francisco Giants. He's a 30-year-old. Yeah, he's a 30-year-old outfielder. He plays all three positions. I love Trey Flowers. All three positions. Not a big hitter. Not great defensively. He's on a team, National League team, but he's played 142. Last 2 years he spent in the big leagues. 142 games, 128 the year before. When I saw that, I was like, okay, this Jackie Bradley thing is real. Because, and of course, I love Rob Bradford, and he had a great piece about Jackie Bradley.
Yeah.
But you notice how, like, Rob is, like, busy shooting down reports? You know, and this is a great article, but, like, you know, talking about Arizona's not interested in Jackie. So I just said that I wonder if this is just outfield depth to prepare for a Bradley trade. He said, no, it's just Paw Sox depth.
F*** you, Lou.
Triple-A depth. Like, just fires back right away. And I'm like, and it's really simple, Rob. I hope you're listening. A 30-year-old outfielder who can kind of be that fourth outfielder, and it's for a big league team, maybe not a starter, but a fourth outfielder. A 30-year-old outfielder that's played the last 2 years in the big leagues and spent no time in the minors does not sign a minor league deal the first, second week of December to sit in AAA all year long.
Thanks for that diatribe.
He's signing it to be in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Okay? To be in the big leagues, in my mind. Now, we'll see what happens with that one. So, I don't know if that's a precursor to Bradley being moved and trying to add depth and trying to find out who you can have in the fourth outfielder. But, anyways, where should I go next?
Go to Joe.
Who? There's no Joe.
No. You pick.
All right, I'm going to go to Bob at Chicopee. Bob, go ahead.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Guys? I'm bad. I don't want to insult anybody, but I'd like to bounce some things off of Lou.
Yeah, bounce them.
You know, Lou, I think that signing Evaldi was a good idea. I think it'd be okay with his size. He looks like he's healthy. His stamina will be okay.
Yankees thought the same
there's
thing.
No way I want to trade Xander Bogaerts, and I'll say something quick about that before I get to Bradley Jr. I think they're afraid that they won't be able to sign him after this year.
Yes.
Because of Boris is going to just price him right out of the Red Sox market.
Yep.
And as far as Bradley goes, I just wouldn't want to break up what I consider the best outfield in baseball.
Wow. Killer bees.
All right. Jackie's got 2 years left. You know who his agent is?
Oh, Boris?
Yep. You know, J.D. Martinez is going to opt out at the end of this year. You know who his agent is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you got to deal with Scott Boras. And nobody should be out of the market when it comes to the Red Sox. Nobody should be priced out of their market if they really want the player. However, when you sign Evaldi to $17 million, that market gets a little smaller. So that's my problem with it. That's all. But, you're right. I mean, they're afraid they can't sign the guy.
You know what? I wasn't disrespected by the fact that he just wanted to talk to you. What I was disrespected by is how crappy it was.
The call?
Wow, man.
I was close.
It's like, Dad's not home. I don't want to swear on the radio. No one's going to catch me.
It's like doing his dishes in the background.
I know. Let's go to Jim in Newburyport because I want to yell at him, too. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I just don't think $17 million is all that much money. You know, I know it all adds up, but, and you know what? This guy's not Curt Schilling, but 14 years ago, you gave Curt Schilling $13 million. What was it? Three, four years ago, it was an insult to offer John Lester a hometown discount at $17 million. You know, and again, this guy's not John Lester.
He's not Curt Schilling,
Yeah, but he's got the, you know what, you all complain, everybody complains that David Price was not a postseason pitcher. This guy's got the stones to pitch in Boston, he's got the stones to pitch in the playoffs, and we don't want him in New York. So spending, you know, what are we talking about there? He's overpaid by $3 million a year? You know what, what's the big deal?
If they're this tight to the salary cap, they shouldn't have brought him back in the first place. That's all. That's just my way. That's all. He's
again,
not Curt Schilling. He's not John Lester. They're workhorses. They play and they perform in the postseason. You know when they also perform from April to September.
Here's the thing: you don't know what Evaldi is yet. You have no clue what he is. You have none. You got 4 years to figure it out, and we'll see. Maybe he is Porcello, which would be fine because Porcello's got one more year. Then he'll probably
be gone. I hope he's
gone.
Porcello.
That'd be great.
That'd be perfect. Again,
then you actually save money because you're paying Porcello $21 million and you're only paying him $17 million.
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on. I want to see Jim and Everett. Go ahead, Jim. I'm just curious on this one. Go ahead, pal.
Yeah, I have to change it up a little bit, try to lighten it up for you guys. Some of the calls were a little crazy to me. My dad was the one in that video. I don't know if you saw it.
Wait, your dad?
Hold on, Jim. Can I just play this video? Do we have it real quick? You're telling me?
Oh, my God.
You're telling me that this is your father?
How could it happen? How could it happen? Where the they got to keep the other end of the goal line safe.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
You knew they were going to do it.
Are you shitting me?
Jim, really your father?
That is really my dad. I can't reveal his name, but I got to tell you, he is a passionate, obviously, Patriots fan. It was a season ticket holder original, 1960, and when they moved to Gillette is when he stopped. But he talks to the TV like he's talking to Tom Brady, his son. Tom, what are you doing, Tom? I'm telling you.
Can you record that for us?
I love your father, by the way. He's made me laugh for the last few. And by the way, how's your mom?
How do you lose like that?
They won.
Perfect or what?
They won? She's in the background. What happened?
Wait, who's filming that?
He was in total disbelief that they lost that game.
Did you film it?
No, my daughter did, his granddaughter.
Are you sitting next to him watching the game or no?
I was sitting next to him watching the game.
Can you please do that again this week? And just or have your father call in.
I really do think you should film your father. I think people out here just need more of your dad.
Everyone, over 6 million people have viewed that video. Can you believe that?
Oh,
he doesn't even understand what viral means. He's 89.
He thinks it's some
old.
Sort of an, like,
what viral means?
Some sort of disease that he's got to go to
the
clinic
for. Where do I find this thing? On that intraweb? Where do I find it?
He's got to go to the clinic.
That intraweb.
Well, Jim, tell your dad that we love him. I mean, that was outstanding. It made me laugh, which is good.
Oh, excellent. Good. Thanks.
All right, Jim, you got it.
Where the f*** are they all?
That's his dad.
That's classic.
That's beautiful. Guy's right there in effort.
His granddaughter is filming him, losing his mind.
I love it. All right, listen, Teddy Bruschi, bottom of the hour. We talk Pats. We talk Steelers. Still, the Red Sox are on the table as well. We're going to hit on the Celtics a little bit later as well. It's the OMF show, or the OMF, the MFers with OMF. I don't know what the hell we call ourselves. We're doing it next.